This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 352. Once again, Disney is not this week. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
Did you have a good week?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice.
Did you have a good week?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah. But that's okay. You know, there's always other weeks.
There's always a silver lining to your rainy cloud, even if that's like eight of them in a row.
There's always a Norse god in your cloud, so if I could just get Chris Hemsworth to actually come down out of the rainy cloud, then it would have made the week better, but he didn't.
Well, he's probably busy doing Thor-like things.
I want him to do Thor-like things with me.
Hey!
What? I'm just saying.
You are a married woman.
And he's a Norse god. And let me tell you, if someone says, will you do a god, you say yes.
I would feel so petrified.
Don't be scared of
I would be
of a god.
Worried about my skills not comparing to that
no,
of a Norse god.
No, no. I mean, evidently, the gods always seem to like running around with humans. I mean, the Greek gods especially, like, they were always taking human forms and knocking up people and making demigods.
I think they were just getting bored.
They're just demigods running all over the place.
They're just like, you know what? We've already tapped all the goddesses. I mean, what's next? We can't go to animals because that's a little insane.
Have you read Greek?
Yes. All right. They did that anyway.
I was about to say. Because,
fluffy white sheep. Stop tempting me.
Ew? Just like, ew? Like, ew? Okay, ew? All right, so anyway, this week, we're not talking about gods and demigods.
And banging sheep.
Banging sheep. Because that's just another podcast that'll probably happen. I'm not going to lie.
That's going on a podcast that you could find available on iTunes if you search long enough.
I'm not going to say that we're not going to talk about that. You know us.
You know me. If you've been listening for as long as you have, you
know
me. If
you've listened to a podcast, any podcast episode of ours before, you know it's probably going
to
happen.
It's bound to happen.
But it's not this week. Because this week, we got to talk games. More importantly, I at least have to talk about Gamescom. I know, Panda, you've been catching up on your homework because I was like, do your homework.
And I was like, okay. And again, I guess apparently we're pushing Disney stuff again.
Yeah, we're pushing the Disney stuff this week just because. Because
I'm a thug.
No, not because you're a thug. You are not a thug. Don't pretend.
I'm a thug?
You're not a thug. No day, any day. Baby,
I like mugs.
You ain't a thug.
I like mugs.
You like mugs.
I do like mugs.
This is true.
And hugs.
And you do like hugs.
And rubs.
Rubs does not rhyme with hugs.
Shh.
Okay.
And tugs.
That's the thing that you yell at Robin Thicke in the song Blurred Lines about. So let it go.
That's true. Because we all know what rhymes with hug me.
Yes. Mug me. So anyway, moving on. I know what you were going for, and I was trying to keep it clean. Anyway, here's the deal. We're pushing Disney back another week for two reasons. One.
Gamescom.
Two. We're still waiting for a review unit for Disney Infinity. So until we get Infinity in, I don't like sharing opinions based off of what other people's experiences are.
Because that would make us liars.
That's just rude. My experience may not be their experience. So I don't be like, oh, I read all this stuff and this is what Disney Infinity is like without even putting my hands on it yet.
I mean, I could talk about DuckTales, which is Disney and Capcom.
It is, but I feel like we should put them together, and you should talk about DuckTales, and I should talk about Infinity, and then we'll have a whole Disney Unity episode. So, we're hopeful that the review unit will come in sometime this week for us to talk about it next week. Okay? Alright? So, the Disney episode is coming. It's just not this week.
It's just around the River Bend.
It's just around the River Bend. Okay? Alright? Don't be sad. Don't be sad. Don't be a grumpy gush. We gotta talk Gamescom. So we could do that.
Yeah, let's do that.
And that'll be pretty bomb. So, basically, what I'm really excited about, not that we were able to go to Gamescom.
Germany, can you imagine getting me on the plane rides for that?
First of all, I would have to drug Pandalicious to get her on the plane to go to Germany.
And I do have a passport now. So.
I would have to be able to knock you out for the entirety of the flight.
I'm sure it wouldn't be a nonstop. I'm sure we'd have to get off and run to another gate.
I know, and so I'd have to come up with some way of convincing people that you were handicapped and that I needed wheelchair assistance to get you to the gate.
Like, she's special needs.
She is. I'm sorry. Let me get that drool off of her. It's okay, baby. It's okay.
It's okay.
This next man's gonna help us get to Germany.
Oh, boy. Don't get me wrong. I think...
You just don't like long plane rides.
If we could get short bursts of plane rides, I'd be okay. But...
No, if the Concorde still existed, we'd be okay.
Yeah.
Because if we could bang out from New York to London in, 4 hours.
Oh, that would be amazing.
That would... Unfortunately, they were, not necessarily landing those well.
Because they were going pretty fast.
I mean, they were going pretty fast. But it was only like a few of them. But, one big Concorde explosion.
You only need one to spoil it for the rest of them.
You only need to see one of those things go... For you to go, baby.
You know what?
Maybe it should take some time for us to get to London. Maybe we shouldn't be able to get to London.
Maybe we should just wait for teleportation systems.
In the same amount of time on a plane as it takes us to get to Florida. I'm just saying. Maybe
like, it should be like the Willy Wonka thing where we turn into a little matter and we get assembled on a dock.
I just want transporters like in Star Trek.
Yeah, but then you'd have to trust somebody to put in the right coordinates so you show up where you're supposed to go.
No, you trust the computer with the coordinates.
But sometimes computers can have viruses, and then what happens?
You end up in Tahiti. Oh, damn.
Or, somewhere dangerous. Like Harlem.
Morocco?
Harlem.
Harlem's not dangerous for you and me.
Well, I might feel like I'm in danger.
Well, that's just your own stupidity.
Well, yes, but you know what? Stupidity, I have it. So, what's up?
Gamescom! That's what's up!
I'm confident in my stupidity.
Wow. We did not get to go to Germany. Mostly not because we couldn't actually get media invitations, because we could. Unfortunately, we didn't have the time nor the funds to go to Germany.
That's okay. I don't feel like we missed that much.
No, but Gamescom definitely, it's kind of like... If E3 and South by Southwest had a baby...
Had a baby in Germany.
And that...
They went on a lover's retreat, a tryst...
Yeah.
...to Germany and had a baby.
Gamescom, so if they met in Cologne for a secret rendezvous, got knocked up and came back to celebrate the rendezvous 9 months later, that baby
would be Gamescom.
So, definitely a lot higher energy, a much larger attendance than E3. There was 340,000 people, I think, at Gamescom reported this year. So, definitely huge, huge turnout, which was great. Some of the games that we got to spend some time with at E3 were at Gamescom. Harmonix was there showing off Fantasia. And I gotta tell you, the more and more that I see of that game, the more and more I can't wait to play it. I think that it's really gonna be kind of one of those sleeper games that seems so simple and yet can be very complicated. That whole families as well as even hardcore gamers are gonna enjoy. Just for the remixability of music alone. But they were showing that off. as well as some of the games that have been released, you know, Splinter Cell, which we'll have some reviews up about shortly as well on our EGMNow.com page, EGMNow.com/Electric Sisterhood. But what was really, I think, the biggest news to come out of Gamescom was the definitive date for the PlayStation 4 launches, both in the U.S. and U.K. and Europe. And while we still don't yet have a definitive date for the launch of the Xbox One, both of the announcements around the systems and some of the hardware came with, I guess there's no other way to say it, definitive both day one launch title lists, as well as the list of titles that will be available in the launch window. And the launch window for both systems is basically the launch date for the consoles, which are in November, both, through the end of the calendar year. So basically November and December. Guys, I gotta tell you, these lists, not only are they big, considering that we're talking a two-month window here, but there's a lot of heavy hitters in both lists. So I'm going to run through them a little quickly and then just kind of talk about how broke we're all going to be, and we're going to have to be okay with it for a while. And I know, Panda, you have a couple of thoughts about some of these titles, but I'm going to start with the PlayStation 4, and mostly just because we know the definitive date for the PlayStation 4. So the PlayStation 4 is going to be released on November 15th in the UK and in the US.
Oh, wow. Same release date.
Yep. Yep. And then the other territories will get it on the 25th. So there's a 10-day gap between the major releases of the consoles. What's really interesting are the confirmed now by Sony at Gamescom day one titles. So first off, you got Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, which we all knew was going to be a launch title from E3, but it's good to hear that it's actually ready to go launch for the new system. You've got Basement Crawl, Battlefield 4, Blacklight Retribution, Call of Duty Ghosts, Contrast, Counterspy, DC Universe Online, Doki Doki Universe, Drive Club, FIFA 14, which I believe FIFA 14 will is being come bundled.
Yes, it will. I saw the news about that earlier today, too.
With the PlayStation 4 in the UK. Flower.
Oh, Flower.
Hohokam. Just Dance 2014. Killzone Shadowfall. Knack. Which, if you got any of the reserve bundles at GameStop, you could get one of the bundles bundled with Knack. But otherwise, it will be available day one. Lego Marvel Superheroes will be available day one. Madden NFL 25. Minecraft. N++. NBA 2K14. NBA Live 14. Need for Speed Rivals. Pinball Arcade. PlanetSide 2. Pool Nation Extreme, Rezo Gun, Skylander Swap Force, Super Motherload, Tiny Brains, Warframe, War Thunder, and Watch Dogs. So all day one available for the PlayStation 4. Now I gotta tell you, right off the bat, the Yubi titles kind of pop off this list for me. Yubi's going hard in this holiday window when you think about Assassins being available. I think Drive Club is theirs, isn't it?
I thought so.
Yeah, I believe Drive Club is...
We could be wrong, however.
Yeah, I might be confusing it with their Drive game, but it might not be Drive Club. It might be something else.
I think it was, though.
I think it was another Drive.
No, I think it was Drive Club, because I think it showed at the Sony presser this year.
I know they have a Drive game, but I can't remember if it's Drive Club or if it's something else. But, you've got Watch Dogs as day one on the I gotta tell you, I'm
you
not
were
a big,
salivating over Watch Dogs.
I'm still salivating over Watch Dogs. It's gonna be an amazing game. And the trouble for me is day one, like, Assassin's 4 versus Watch Dogs, like, I don't know.
I can say right now, you're going to be holding both in your hands going, which one do I put in first?
I don't know which one to put in first.
Why doesn't the PS4 have dual disc feeds?
I should have two of these things. Because that's like the big difficulty for me. You know, I'm looking forward to Call of Duty Ghosts. I'm a Call of Duty girl. Love the franchise. But, you know, it's Call of Duty 4. I mean, it's more Call of Duty, I should say.
I mean, they're not trying to wow us with anything new here.
You know, I love Flower.
I mean, we're getting a dog in this
Don't
pod.
Fucking
we're
make
getting a dog.
Fun of Riley.
We're getting it. We're getting an awesome dog.
That dog is badass.
That dog is going to, like, land a plane in hated territories.
Somebody kills that dog, I'm going to be pissed as shit. I better be able to get my bloody retribution.
I feel like, no, I feel what should happen is this: the squad person who, like, controls Riley or issues commands, something should happen to him, and then the perspective should change, and you get to be Riley, and you, like, bite a dude's throat out. Out of your pure dog rage.
Dog rage.
I feel like that would be a great way to, like, appease even the thought of harming a dog. Putting a dog in something as tumultuous as a war zone. And
by the way, Drive Club is not
the
UB's
name of it?
Game.
What is it?
It's not UB's game. I gotta go look up what UB's game is, but Evolution Studios does Drive Club.
Oh, okay. So needless to say, but going back to COD, because, I mean, I feel like they're trying to find new ways of bringing more people into their franchise, and, I mean, that's kind of the name of the game anyway, in any type of game that you make. So why not put the cute and fluffy that could also, I don't know, be a trained assassin of some kind into the mix. I mean, I'm surprised it took them this long to put a doggy in there. I mean, I would have done Ninja Ferrets personally, but I mean,
I
what
would
do I
love
know?
To play a game called Ninja Ferrets.
Ninja Ferrets, where you're a ferret and you steal and you kill because you're a ferret and you like shiny things. And your villain is a magpie because they like to steal shiny things too.
I feel like you've thought this out.
I'm surprised that I am not on a development team.
I don't understand why you're not.
I don't get it. I have great ideas. People would love my games.
I don't understand why you're not in a think tank somewhere working for somebody, helping them come
I'm
up with
surprised I'm not in a tank.
I am kind of surprised that you're not in a tank, too, actually. Very
sometimes
surprised.
Thinking hurts.
Yeah.
Especially for me. Sometimes.
You know, but the sheer amount of really fantastic games, both from the mobile perspective, as well as indie perspective, as well as, you know, known dev house perspective. For day one, November is going to be really, really tight, guys. On the Xbox One side of the world, a bunch of the titles that I just mentioned are confirmed, for sure, for day one. So very similarly, Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag, Battlefield 4, Call of Duty, you know, nothing that I haven't said before yet, FIFA, Just Dance 2014, Lego Marvel Super Heroes, the Madden NFL 25, NBA 2K14, NBA Live 14, Need for Speed Rivals, Skylanders Swap Force, Watchdog, those are the same available day one when the Xbox One launches to the PlayStation list. However, where I think Microsoft has a little bit of a leg up is they've got a bunch of exclusives that are going to be available day one as well. Dead Rising 3 is a day one Xbox One release. Crimson Dragon, which for any Panzer Dragoon Order fans out there, yes, you need to put your hands on this because it feels just like home.
Well, I mean, the only news in terms of next-gen release that they got at Gamescom was from Sony. So, I mean, we still don't have the official release date of the Xbox One.
No, we know it's going to be in November. We just don't know what Tuesday in November
is
going
to
be.
So now Microsoft is in a position to be able to get their console out before.
There's an opportunity, for sure.
There's a strong opportunity for them to come in and seal some extra deals
and still have those seals, you know, the sales ability for the quarter count.
Yeah.
Popping in earlier in November. So talk about the
showing
15th.
Your hand, Sony.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Sony had already said that the box was going to come out in November, just like Microsoft. Really and truly, the only thing we didn't know was the date. Typically, both companies like to release on Tuesdays. So it's no surprise that the date was the 15th for the PlayStation. I think that Sony believed that Microsoft was going to have their launch date available. And I think, frankly, Microsoft wanted to kind of play the wait-and-see game. Because they got burned a little bit at E3, kind of showing their hand, and then Sony basically going, okay, well, we're up after you, so we're going to take all the things that people are like, huh? It's like
anything you can do, we can do better.
Exactly. So I feel like they kind of wanted to hold back on that and see what date Sony said, and so that they would have the flexibility to come back and be like, oh, by the way, our system is actually going to come out on the 5th.
So, Microsoft, prepare for your crunch time, because I think it's going to happen now.
I think that we'll probably hear within the next week or so a solid release date from the Microsoft camp when to expect the Xbox One.
Oh, I definitely believe that, too.
But what's really interesting is that, you know, you also have, like I said, Crimson Dragon, you've got Dead Rising 3 as day one. And both exclusive games to the platform.
Man, I'm gonna have to save up so much money to get this.
You've got Killer Instinct.
Oh, Gold, right?
Yeah. No, Killer Instinct. They're just calling it Killer Instinct, because Gold was the N64 version.
Oh, okay.
So this is just Killer Instinct, which is free to play.
Right, because you only get the two players unless you microtransaction the other ones, right?
Or earn them through the story play. Right. Absolutely. So if you want the full roster from the bat, you gotta pay. If you don't want the full roster from the bat,
then
you want to
learn how to be Jago, or which one was it? It's Jago and the Beowulf?
Yeah.
The Beowulf guy. And learn them and pwn. And I actually kind of like the idea that they're gonna force people to either pony up the money or actually hone the skill set. Kind of like how you do it in, what is it? I think Soul Calibur through the play mode.
Yeah.
You couldn't just pick the character that you were familiar with. You had to play pretty much all of them and learn their basic moves enough to get through three rounds.
Well, and it exposed you to new characters. And it's basically introduced me to characters that normally, just by the look of the character, I wouldn't normally pick. But my fight style fit their speed and their mechanics so well that they started to become some of my favorite characters to play. And I wouldn't have given them a shot without being forced down that path.
Are you talking Voldo? Because he creeps me the fuck out.
Yes. And Voldo is the type of character that when I'm playing a fighting game, I wouldn't necessarily pick right off the bat, but as it turns out,
his ball sack bothered me.
His
pouch, the ball sack pouch on his costume bothered me.
Tremendously. You weren't able to focus in any of the fight games.
Anytime you were going to play him, I'm like, win, because I cannot focus on anything.
Especially when I would do that arch-back thing.
Oh, God, can you stop?
Sorry.
It is so awkward. It gives me the skeevies.
I know, but he's a good character. I mean, fights well.
Yeah.
If you can master him.
And he distracts you with his ball sack
pouch. No, he distracts you with his ball
sack. And people like me, and there's got to be at least three others on this planet who are very similar to me. And if you are, we should become friends, because we're awesome, and people just don't understand us. And that happens a lot.
Also, day one, you've got Loco Psycho from Twisted Pixel.
Aha!
You've got Rise, Son of Rome from Crytek, which I'm really looking forward to.
Of course you are.
Frankly, at this point, I think that I'm going to end up moving the Ubisoft games from my Xbox system to my PlayStation system.
Okay.
I have a feeling that I'm going to enjoy Assassins and...
No, really? You love an Assassins game?
I hadn't finished the sentence, but yes. I feel like I'm going to enjoy Assassin's Creed 4 and Watch Dogs a little bit more on the PlayStation platform than on the Xbox One platform. Just from what I've seen hands-on at E3, and just knowing how frankly, processor intensive. The nice way of putting it, those games are. Not to knock the Xbox One system, but I think that the PlayStation system has a little bit more to throw behind it right now than the Xbox One. And with this generation of games, I have a feeling that frame rate is going to be killer. I mean, frame rate right now is crucial, but I think with these new boxes, it's going to be killer. I think frame rate issues will be the difference between you completing a level correctly and you not.
Isn't that kind of the problem already?
No, because right now most frame rate issues are things like you end up dropping a couple frames here or there, but you're still in the same neighborhood. It's not like you've glitched off a mountain or anything like that. Yeah, I haven't glitched off a mountain.
I've glitched off a mountain. I've glitched into a building during a ticking down clock, which kind of blows.
Yeah. But see, I think with the amount of data that we're... So, here's the example that I'll give you.
Sure, I love examples.
Right now, it's been frustrating to glitch into a building, right? With a countdown clock and you just having to wait for the clock to time out and say that you failed the mission so you could start it again, right?
Yeah.
Now, imagine you're playing Beyond Two Souls.
Oh, I can't wait for that to come out in October.
Okay, now imagine what a frame rate issue in that game is going to do to you.
Oh, no. Ellen Page, you're
See what I mean?
Get out of there.
I think frame rate is going to be the thing that basically defines and crowns the winner in this next gen as we go along. You know, whoever can handle it will win.
I mean, it's kind of interesting that you brought up Beyond Two Souls, actually, because that's a small tangent. I was reading an article about the game because the game's creator was very adamant about making sure that there was no fail screens or game over screens in Beyond Two Souls. Because the IP is so story-based, and he hates the idea that games will, you know, you'll end a game or get a game over when you don't play the game the way the game was made to be played. So, you know, you could essentially fail whatever your objective is in Beyond Two Souls. Like, say you're supposed to run from somebody and you get captured. Well, you don't get a game over. It just opens up a new path to get towards the end result of your game. So, I like the ingenuity and the thought process behind that.
Well, it was kind of the same process and take that they went down with Heavy Rain, right? You know, you...
Well, no, because... Well, yeah, because if you died, that was just the end of one of the characters, but there were several...
And you just protagonists, picked up... Correct. Air quotes. You know, so it wasn't like you got a game over.
You just ended that particular person's story at that particular point.
Correct.
Yeah, and I think they're gonna... I think they're lending this gameplay style very similar to that, but I liked that concept, like, I really do. Because it really does leave it to the player... to decide, you know, by their skill set or not, how the story will play itself out.
Well, ultimately, it also makes you align more with the character, right? Because you are now responsible for whether or not this person has a story that goes through the completion of the game or not.
Or not.
If you mess up, well, that's the end of this line. Now you've got to pick up another line and do something probably completely different.
Different from what your initial idea was.
You know, and I feel like... To me, that's more almost an homage to old-style video gaming when you were in an arcade of when, you know, if this thing ended, it just ended. And you just had to go about your business and do something else, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like it's not necessarily a punishment as much as it is a eventuality of playing the game arc. And I think that that's really cool. I don't think that I necessarily want every game to be like that, but I really appreciate that the games that are much more about a story and progressing you through the story take that path, as opposed to if I was going through the game and then got a game over. It really would feel kind of out of place.
Yeah,
like
I agree.
If you think about Heavy Rain right now, if you went back and played it, and after a mission where you failed to, get...
Madison
out of
The crazy doctor guy's
house?
If it was like, game over.
It would feel really out of place for you to then restart and try to do it again.
Well, because I feel like, Heavy Rain, you know, you had multiple storylines that all kind of stitched themselves together at the end. I mean, just for one character to die, I mean, because you've got four, potentially five, depending on, you know, where you come in... it would seem weird that just because one of them died, the whole story just completely disintegrates and no longer exists. But, I mean, when you have one protagonist, it kind of makes, in my mind, it makes more sense that if that protagonist is to die, that's the end of the story at that point.
It does. It does. I don't disagree with you.
But I don't believe that Beyond Two Souls is really going to, because I think you pretty much follow, I think, 15 years... or even more years of this particular character.
I believe so.
So, like, you're literally essentially witnessing her life.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And I think that that's a really... Not only... I know it's an ambitious thing to do.
It's very ambitious.
It's very ambitious, because it's a huge gamble, right? If you, as a user, don't emotionally connect to that character...
Then you're not going to want to know what happens to her after she turns 8.
So you really have to, you know, if you're Quantic, you really have to know that you're creating a very, very...
believable character.
And not only that, but... emotionally
captivating character.
Yes, exactly.
An immersive character that you can feel yourself wanting to align with from the start.
And that your story is as captivating and has a good balance of interactive elements to keep
people interested.
Interested. So, you
know, it's very ambitious. They're kind of like, look at my cock.
Bam. It is. Bam. Now, at the same time, I gotta say, if anybody's up to it, you know, Quantic, in the landscape right now, Quantic is up for it.
Dream is definitely... definitely for it.
You know, but I wish, like, in my heart of hearts, that Beyond Two Souls was a day one release. I get why it's not, and I don't want it to be rushed.
Well, remember, but, I mean, it's releasing in October for the consoles that we've got now. But going to be available for the next gens.
Yes. But it's not on the confirmed day one list.
No, but it's coming for it, because they've already said that we were going to see it.
I know, but I don't think I'm going to be able to wait for it.
Well, I mean, I pre-ordered one. I'm getting one.
I already pre-ordered mine.
For my PS3. So,
for my PS3.
I'm getting it.
But I don't think that I can wait to play it on my PS4. And I don't typically pick up a game for one gen and then pick it up again for another gen.
This might be the first one for you.
I don't think it would be.
It'd be something I would buy.
I think that there are plenty of other things that will happen on the PlayStation 4 that
I'll probably need to... It will sprout wings and start singing to you.
Throw some money at. But if somebody wanted to give it to me as like a Christmas or birthday present, I wouldn't be upset about it.
Don't look at me when you say that, because I'm broke.
Hey, you're not that broke. You pre-ordered the game.
Yeah.
So...
I'm broke enough.
Christmas happens. You still have to give me
gifts. So do Christmas miracles.
It could be a Christmas miracle.
I can walk again. It's a Christmas miracle.
Pandalicious bought me a present. It's a Christmas miracle.
Whoa. I get you gifts every year.
Every year.
Every year for Christmas. Yes. Every year. Yes. They might not be up to your standards of elegance.
Oh, your gifts are always up to my standards. Except when you don't really put in any effort at all, and I can tell that it's a gift that you picked up at Walgreens.
I don't walk into Walgreens. They're dirty. So that's
You're not casting judgment or anything like that.
I mean, I'm not saying that Walmart suck, but they suck.
I'm not trying to say that Walgreens are dirty and nasty and, you know, only
just the one down the street from my house.
But I'm just saying the one around the corner from my place
could use a new manager and a new building.
Someone should introduce a bucket and a mop to it, is what she said.
Several buckets and mops, actually.
They're so mean.
And some Febreze.
All right, I've got to talk about the launch window games for the Xbox One. I seem to have lost my list for the PlayStation 4, but I got to tell you, as I run through these games, some of them are day one releases, so you're going to hear them again. But just think about, this is the amount of games that will be coming out for the Xbox One between its launch date in November and the end of December. So that 2-month window, here we go. Assassin's Creed 4, Battlefield 4, Below, Call of Duty Ghosts, The Crew. And that's the Ubisoft driving game.
Okay.
Crimson Dragon, D4, Dead Rising 3, Destiny, The Division, Dragon Age Inquisition, Dying Light, Elder Scrolls Online, Fantasia Music Evolved, Fable Legends, FIFA Soccer 14, Final Fantasy 14, Forza Motorsport, Halo for Xbox One, Just Dance 2014, Killer Instinct, Kinect Sports Rivals, Kingdom Hearts 3, Lego Marvel Super Heroes, Loco Cycle, Madden 25, Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, Minecraft, Mirror's Edge, NBA 2K14, NBA Live 14, Need for Speed Rivals, Peggle 2, Plants vs. Zombies, Garden Warfare, Project Spark, Quantum Break, Rabbids Invasion, Rise, Son of Rome, Skylanders, Swap Force, Star Wars, Battlefront, Sunset Overdrive, Thief, Titanfall, Trials Fusion, EA Sports UFC, Watch Dogs, The Witcher 3, Wolfenstein, The New Order, Zoo Tycoon, and Zumba Fitness World Party. That's a shit ton of awesome coming out between November and December 2013, guys.
Talk about crunching.
Okay. Kingdom Hearts 3.
Oh, guys. I hope they start releasing more and more tidbits about that.
But did you hear me? It's a launch window title, which means between November and December...
It comes out. With you barely any hype, which kind of concerns me.
Ken puts the money on it. It's Kingdom Hearts 3. What hype does it need?
I would just like to see what's going to happen now.
You're going to buy it.
I know, but I would like to know a little bit.
And people are going to play it. And you're going to be like, oh,
I want to know what the opening song is. I want to know if it's as awesome as Simple and Clean and as epic as
Sanctuary. At this point, aren't they obligated to have Utada Hikaru do the song?
Hey, Square Enix likes to fuck up with opening songs, especially with Final Fantasy 13.
But haven't they been pretty spot on for all of Kingdom Hearts?
Oh my god, please tell me that they're not going to put lightning in Kingdom Hearts 3. Please don't.
I thought you liked Lightning.
I do, but she's gotten 3 games now. Three of them. One really sucked. One her sister tried to cover up and she did an okay job-ish, I guess. And the third one is pretty much just arena fighting with Lightning in different costumes. I think the world has had enough of our pal Lightning. She should go on a vacation. I know she'd have a hard time emoting how that feels.
No. She's more emoting... In 15. Wait. Yeah. Is she in 15?
I don't... What?
Wait. Which one is she in?
She's in...
Is she in 14?
13, 2, Lightning Returns, which is technically Final Fantasy 13.
Wait, which one did they... Okay, 15's the one that I'm gonna like because it's action RPG, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the one that's in real time.
And 14 is Realm Reborn, right?
Yes.
And she's not in Realm Reborn.
I hope not.
Okay.
I don't know how they would incorporate that, right, where it's a totally different area and world.
As you well know, I am not the Final Fantasy person.
I know, I am.
Only interested in Final Fantasy 15 at this point.
So, needless to say, I think it's okay now to let the girl go. And I like her, and I've had several debates about this, and I will talk about it till the day I die. But even I know when it's time to go, you know... Maybe I should go home early from this party because things are not looking good. Blurred lines.
No blurred lines. No Robin Thicke in this episode.
Blurred lines.
No more Robin Thicke in this episode. I do want to mention that a couple of those launch window games that I mentioned do require an online connection. Now, as everyone knows, Microsoft in the... aftermath of E3 and everyone's hooray for Sony for not doing some of the cock-blocky things that Microsoft's doing. Microsoft did a 180 and took those things out.
It's like, hey, you know what? We won't do that to you.
But that also means that we won't be able to give you this now because we can't.
So that really awesome thing kind of required that thing you guys really hate. So instead of being innovative and sticking to our guns,
we're going to appease you because we want you to buy our console, but we're now not going to be able to have this piece. So
don't be sad that you can't do this thing that we were aiming to do because you didn't want to have to sacrifice your comfortability.
Yep. Hooray you.
Go team.
But there are some games that do require an internet connection to play. Important ones, I'm going to run them down the list here. There's only a couple. But Destiny, which is one that surprised me because I did not expect that, requires an online connection to play. Elder Scrolls Online, which doesn't surprise me because...
And I will be talking about that in my part of the show.
Yeah. Requires online to play. Mm-hmm. Forza Motorsport requires online to play. And I think that's it for the launch window games as far as those that require
Realm online Reborn play. Will require...
Yeah, but Realm Reborn isn't...
Launch, right?
No, yeah, it's out now, isn't it?
If it's not out now, it will be this week.
Yeah.
Not today, when you guys listen to the show, it will be like tomorrow.
Yeah, but I think, yeah. So, which is why it's not on my list here, but...
But it's, and I'll be talking about that at the same time as Elder Scrolls and not too long from now.
But my most important thing, I guess, that I want people to understand is Holiday 2013 is no joke. This year, guys.
It's no joke.
Okay. You have a whole lot of developers that have come out and said, hey, we're bringing the best and the brightest to the field. Just in case you missed it, there's a shit ton of awesome coming this way.
Shit ton of awesome.
Well, think about it. You've got two new consoles dropping probably within a week of each other.
Okay.
Okay. That are bringing with them day one a slew of new titles, you know, and by the way, following day one, within the next coming 6 weeks total, bringing with them a slew of, you know, no fewer than 30 additional new titles.
That's so many games.
That's a lot of new titles in a 60-day period. Well, less than 60 days, yes. Because you're talking about middle of November to... You know, the end of December.
Man, I don't know how we're gonna get through this trying time in games.
Okay. There's gonna be a lot of demos that we're gonna be playing and be like, alright, next. Okay, who's got next? I don't even know. Somebody.
But my hands are numb. I can't.
I have the blister. You know, really and truly. I mean, you think about, you know, Below, which was one of the games that really kind of caught my eye and my attention at E3. You know, it's going to be available between launch and the end of 2013. As is Crimson Dragon, as is D4, as is The Division, as is Dying Light, which, you know...
Oh, that's so my thing more than your thing.
I know, but I'm still going to be interested in watching you play it. I'm going to be playing the bejesus out of Fantasia.
Oh yeah, that's so got you written all over it, bro.
Well, it really does. We're going to be playing Killer Instinct.
You'll be kicking my ass in Killer Instinct.
But we're still going to play it.
Well,
we're going to play Kingdom Hearts 3.
I'm going to play the fuck out of Kingdom Hearts 3.
Okay. You know, we're going to play Mirror's Edge for sure.
I didn't even play the first one.
I'm damn sure going to play Metal Gear Solid 5. Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare? Hell fucking yeah. Quantum Break? By the way, did I say hell fucking yeah?
Hell fucking yeah!
Rise, Son of Rome, which I already said I want to play. Battlefront. Sunset Overdrive, because if it's from Insomniac, you know it's going to be good. Titanfall looks amazing.
You've been talking about Titanfall since
come
you saw
on!
That dude with the hawk.
I can fucking mechas boom. Boom!
She mechas likes boom. Mechas. You really like mechas.
Mechas boom!
I get it.
Okay. Boom. You know? Witcher? Yes. This entire concept has made me go Arnold Schwarzenegger on it.
I know.
It's overwhelming. The awesomeness that is about to drop between November.
I'm trying so hard not to bust out laughing right now.
You can't help it. Between November and December.
I
can't. Like, that's the noise I'm going to be making every week. Every time I turn around, I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Oh. I can't.
Serious.
I can't deal with you right now.
Like, can I put my... I have to take Watch Dogs out so I can put assassins in, but I can only play that for a half hour because it's going to be really insane.
I feel like we're going to rapidly go through games and we're going to start bleeding storylines into other storylines. People are like, what are you playing? All of
it. All of them. I'm playing
The Last of Us? No, all of us. I'm playing all of us now.
You know? I mean, it's ridiculous.
That's a great title. All of us.
I'm just saying. Craziness. Anyway, and I just want to make a correction. The November 15th date for the release of the PS4 is for the US and Canada. The UK and Europe get it on the 25th.
See? And I was surprised that you had said that, because they usually will spread them out. The release is at least a week or two.
Yes.
Between
US and Canada, November 15th. UK, Europe, November 25th.
Don't worry, guys. One, you're still going to get it, and they're going to censor the fuck out of most of your games anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. I saw a great photo of how God of War looks like.
They show it's like America.
And it's just
Japan, ripping. And then Australia.
Yeah, and it's just Kratos, like, ripping this dude's head off, and you can see the rips in the neck and stuff in the U.S. And in Japan,
it's all pixelated. He's ripping his
head off, and it's pixelated on the neck. And in Australia,
there's a rainbow. He's hugging a teddy bear.
He's holding a teddy bear and ripping it off of something.
And there's glitter. A
rainbow and glitter.
He's really... They really don't want you guys to see anything horrible over there. And I wonder why that is.
I mean, that's a little bit of an exaggeration of what the censorship is
like. But it's not
only a little bit.
It's not that far off.
Not that far off. So, you know, there were a lot of things that were announced at Gamescom. A bunch of different trailers that have come out. We'll be talking about those and sharing links to those trailers on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. So make sure that you check it out. Really and truly, a metric shit ton.
That's a lot.
I said metric, and I'm American, but there's just so much.
We don't like to use the metric system.
Okay,
here.
But there's just so much. There's no other way to scale it and measure it than to say metric shit ton of awesomeness.
That's a lot of shit.
It's a lot of shit.
America.
America. Ow, ow, ow. So anyway, Panda.
Yes.
What did you take away from Gamescom, the news this week?
Well, actually, we were talking about this a little bit off of...
Offline?
Offline. But I want to kind of bring this up, because, I mean, we're talking about new consoles, and that's always...
New consoles!
Well and good. But, but we cannot forget...
We can't.
...that we have a nice little subset of our awesome... People base that don't even play console games, but they play all their stuff via the PC.
Oh, the computer gaming people.
Yes, those people. And I mean, and I was one for a time.
Console is just a computer system with a separate controller, right?
I know, but some people, purists don't. They won't buy into that.
But it's just a big computer.
But anyway.
The specialized one.
I understand that, bro. But there are some people that like their games on their computer.
All right. I'm not knocking.
And some people who like a separate computer for just their games.
It's cool.
And that's how that goes.
I mean, it's cool.
We support your life choices.
Absolutely. No judgment. Here, no judgment.
At the Land of Ash.
We welcome all gamers.
And like I said, I've done a stint in the PC gaming world. I was a WoW addict for several years.
Yep. And but now you've recovered, and you know
I've
what?
Recovered, and I mean, so I proud. Did just recently get myself a Steam account that I do play Lord of the Rings Online sometimes on, and I'll play Portal on there sometimes too, but only the games that are available for Macs, because they're still working those kinks out.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk about it a little bit, because I've been seeing little bits of trend that were not necessarily...
What's trend look like?
It's wavy.
Uh-huh.
Like, it looks like a bunch of bell curves next to each other in line.
Okay. All right.
That's what trends look like.
Okay. I got it.
And we're on the lower, the negative side of a trend right now.
Uh-oh.
Where we're starting to see a whole lot of people are starting to pull away from their games that are, you know, bound by a subscription fee. Now.
So, did you just make a really long sentence to just say that there's a chunk of gamers
that are no longer paying for games that have subscription fees? Yes, I did.
Okay. Just checking.
I wanted to give everybody a visual.
I know.
I would draw you a picture. But sometimes this is an audio podcast, and my picture would go unseen by you.
Okay, yep. So, people are moving a big chunk of gamers who are on PCs are moving away from subscription-based gaming.
Yes.
Like, is it because they're moving towards free-to-play?
That's right. And it's really funny because, you know, back in the day, and you could go back, I don't even know, probably hundreds of podcast episodes where I was like, I will never play a free-to-play because it's, you know, yeah, the game is necessarily free-to-play, but anything that you would want to invest in, you're going to want to put money in. And I'm like, yeah. I ain't got money for that.
I do believe that you did shit upon free-to-play.
I did.
Yeah, heavily.
Until
you played one, right?
Until when I ran out of money.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? This is a viable option for me. I can see why this is appealing to people who don't make money. I can play this
with no money.
It's like, I can either play the games I have on my consoles over and over again, which I kind of am doing anyway, but this allows me to play something new without having to pay for it.
I like this.
I like this idea. It releases endorphins in my body and it makes me smile. So, I did. I kind of shit on it. I did. I shit on it.
Thank you.
And I was like, not for me, man. But now I'm like, it's totally for me, man. You know, and I understand that. But yes, we're seeing a shift from people who are like, I don't want to pay for this anymore. I want my shit free. So you would think a lot of people, and I mean, we've seen a lot of trends now with indie companies making MMOs and stuff like that, and they're making them free to play, where any money that does come into the game comes from microtransactions, which we all know a lot of gamers don't really care for because it's not necessarily free if you gotta pay for it.
Yeah, but the majority of free-to-play games are structured so much as core gameplay does not require microtransactions. It's if you want to get things early,
yep.
If you want to make things easier, if you want to do
if you want to own shit mods, in your game, yeah,
correct.
Mods and stuff. Yes,
I've never, at least in my experience, seen a free-to-play game that tied a critical path item to a microtransaction.
No, and you'll never see that happen. But in the air right now, where free-to-play is the more alluring thing to the masses, because everyone is being very critical as to where their money goes.
Can I make a suggestion and say that free-to-play is much more appealing for casual gamers?
I would say it definitely is. And like I said, we were talking about this offline. Because the whole point of this whole little ramble of mine,
yes,
is that at Gamescom, Bethesda announced that The Elder Scrolls Online was going to have a subscription fee attached to it, along with the disc price of the initial game to be about $60. So $60 plus $15 a month to allow a gamer to play it. Now, mind you, Elder Scrolls, even the simple games like Oblivion and Morrowind and Skyrim, are all beefy games. And I only know this from console side because I didn't play it PC side. But console-wise, these were beefy, meaty games that had so much going on. I don't even think I've finished Skyrim, technically. But, and now to put that into an MMO prospect where, you know, you can be whoever you want to be and pretty much conquer the entire world like Risk, maybe. I mean, I don't know for sure. I only played it for 2 hours at PAX East this year. But that is a lot of game.
So here's my counterpoint. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't think that it should be seen as a negative thing as far as what Bethesda is doing. Okay? You're basically paying $60 to get the land of Elder Scrolls Online.
All of it.
Which is a massive, completely explorable world.
True.
On disk.
Yep.
So that you can download it and install it to your hard drive on your console of choice when you get home. And play a massively multiplayer online game every month. I don't see how charging a $15 fee for playing a MMO is a big deal, other than your initial sticker shock on buying the disc, because when you buy WoW, you didn't get WoW for free.
Well, actually, technically,
you came into it late. When WoW first hit the market, you had to buy it on disc in a store.
In a Walmart.
And then pay the online fee. So this is no different.
No, this is not a new concept. This is not
than how it launched. I just think that what you're kind of stumbling on it was, well, why didn't they just make this free to play?
And because do microtransactions free to play, to
because it's way too big. Okay? It's way too big. The majority of free-to-play games...
Wait, so you don't think Lord of the Rings is expansive and...
Lord of the Rings is big, but Lord of the Rings does not look and or function at all.
And what about Star Wars The Old Republic?
Hold on, hold on, hold on. Let me address the first one you brought up first. All right. Okay?
Okay.
Lord of the Rings Online is nowhere near as big and ambitious as Elder Scrolls Online is. Lord of the Rings Online is a great game.
Oh, I have fun over there.
Okay, it's a lot of fun, but it is not as big and vast as what Bethesda has planned for Elder Scrolls Online. Can we agree on that?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I mean, you saw the visuals.
Yes, I did.
Okay, you saw the Dragon Battle running in real time.
Yes, I did.
There isn't anything like that
currently.
In Lord of the Rings Online currently, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so can we agree that it would be a massive, massive suckage of resources without the promise necessarily of a guaranteed revenue stream for Bethesda to release as free-to-play? Is that fair to say?
That is fair.
Okay, now you want to say, well, what about Star Wars Battlefront?
No,
right?
No, Star Wars The Old Republic.
Okay, Old Republic.
SOTOR. Star Wars The Old Republic.
Okay, Old Republic. Old Republic is a very big game.
Yes.
Okay, it is massive.
It is very massive.
Okay. And I would say that it almost is as big as what Bethesda has planned for Elder Scrolls Online. I would say that it's the closest apples to apples comparison
that you could make. Feel you can make?
Yep. The difference between the two is that the Star Wars game has the cachet and the backing of Lucas.
I don't know if he does anymore.
Okay. Not George Lucas specifically, but LucasArts. And, you know, the game division before it was, you know...
Right.
Because it wasn't, saying with me, profitable.
Yeah.
That's what killed it.
Yeah.
Initially. And it had to be reborn in hopes of coming out of that. Because LucasArts game division no longer exists. Right?
Yeah.
Would it be okay to say that probably the reason why it doesn't exist is because it didn't make the money that it needed to make?
Yeah.
So I'm not knocking Bethesda for going, you know what, it'd be easy to try and make this a free-to-play game, but it won't be as successful. Because people don't like microtransactions. They don't. They love the idea of free-to-play, but when they start getting into, well, if I really want to do this, I've got to pay this, and I can't do it all in one fell swoop. I have to do this here, and I have to do that there, and oh my god, it's a pain in the... They do nothing but bitch about microtransactions, but then praise the game for being free for them to play, but oh, they have to do microtransactions. That's always the next following statement. I don't care if people love the free-to-play game. The follow-up statement always is, yeah, it was free-to-play, and so I could download it and start and jump in, but I fucking hate microtransactions, and they're all over the place for, like, this, this, and this, so I don't even do that, so I don't get to experience the whole game, and I'm fucking pissed that I don't, but I'm not going to do the microtransaction. So instead of having that associated with their brand, which is a killer franchise, because we can all agree that Elder Scrolls is a killer franchise,
right? I think they need to make a Game of Thrones MMO.
They did, didn't they?
Did they?
I think there's a Game of Thrones one.
Then anyway, I want to play it.
Anyway, Bethesda said, nope, we're going to be smart about this. Because we're throwing a ton of resources behind this game. And this is a huge franchise that we want to do right. So we're going to sell you the disc that's going to have the game on it. And I do believe that there's a piece that you can play without doing the $15 a month thing, so you can do a solo quest that's disc only without going into the massive online world, which kind of negates the whole buying an MMO, but whatever. But if you want the online experience, it's going to cost you $15 a month. And that will help Bethesda keep servers running, keep patches and content coming, I don't think that it's a bad thing. Okay? If Bethesda wants to do a free-to-play game, I think you could make an Elder Scrolls offshoot free-to-play. But I don't think...
Well, I mean, I'm sure that's why, for one, that they're releasing the anthology with all the Elder Scrolls games all bundled up piece for the PC people before. Because I think that's going to get released before Elder Scrolls Online.
I believe it does.
Launches. So this might that might be the alternative for people who don't want to, you know, want the Elder Scrolls experience without having to fork over to do the
appeasement. Because I don't think that it is fair to knock Bethesda for not doing a free-to-play game.
I'm not knocking Bethesda. I just wanted to talk about it because, I mean, in an era where a lot of people are bitching over the silliest things, and we're already seeing a lot of people are starting to align their money elsewhere, that this might have been a risky thing for them to do.
Well, I get you on thinking that's a little bit risky, but I also think that it's the smartest thing, the smartest of two evils, right?
I'll give them that. I just worry because there's a lot going on in the game, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I know Final Fantasy Realm Reborn is going the exact same route. They're going to require people to pay to play, even though
it's big.
It is a lot bigger, Final Fantasy Realm Reborn, and it does allow players on the PS3 and PC to play together, so it is cross-platform. So it does offer a little bit more than Elder Scrolls has announced thus far will be the capabilities of Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah, but I wouldn't put it past Bethesda to make PC and console in an MMO overlap.
I mean, but they haven't announced that yet, so I don't know if they're on the same... on the same page yet.
I'd be surprised if that didn't happen, to be honest, before launch.
I'm just as, you know, someone on the outside has seen the glory that, you know, was my 2 hour.
Your eyes have seen the glory.
Yes, of the Elder Scrolls Online. And I would really hate for this to happen. It's going to release. Diehard franchise fans are going to go and buy that disc. They're going to suck up that subscription fee. Maybe for 6 months.
Right?
Some of those jaded people are going to come out, but you know what? This is totally the same thing that I've been playing when I was playing SOTOR, and I was playing WoW, and there's nothing new and original here, and I'm just going to end it. And all that beautiful work that Bethesda has been sitting and developing is going to disintegrate before our eyes.
But you'd be in the same box if they released the game and it wasn't a online play and you just paid your $60, got the disc, and then 6 months they were like, fuck this game.
Well, I mean...
same situation. A not good game and a not good gameplay, if it's not unique and it doesn't bring something new other than just being a rehash of what it is, fails regardless of whether or not you're paying a monthly fee for it or not.
True.
I know.
I'm just concerned, and I have so much love for Bethesda, is all.
So, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, Elder Scrolls Online needs to bring some cool new things to the table in order to survive. If it does, regardless of whether or not you got to pay $15 a month or not to play it, it'll survive. I mean, it's like any game. You know, the same thing with Realm Reborn. If Realm Reborn is just another, you know, Final Fantasy 11, but with new people skins, it won't survive.
I have some concerns about Final Fantasy Realm Reborn.
You seem to have a lot of concerns about the MMO genre.
I do, because I have an appreciation for it, because I have history with an MMO. It's like being an ex-boyfriend. Like, when you're with them, everything is great. When you leave, you find all those things that you don't like. But every once in a while, you find your memory box. Yes, girls, we all do it. Don't even play like you never had one. Because we've all effing done it. I know dudes don't do that. I don't know what guys do on their side of stuff. But girls carry that shit. I've got one underneath my bed that I can't reach all the time. Yes, I'm admitting this, even though I'm 29 years old. But every once in a while, you take a broom, you bat the box out from underneath your bed, you open it, and you read notes from several years ago.
So you keep a time capsule of boyfriend's past underneath your bed?
Me? No.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm so going to your room after this podcast.
Yeah. I've done that.
Wow.
I'm a sentimentalist at best.
You're
at
just heart. A mentalist.
Like, and it's not all wanna know the stuff. Like,
boyfriends are exes? Because they sucked.
Yeah.
Because if they didn't suck, you wouldn't have broken up.
Or been dumped.
Yeah. Exes. They're exes
I'm
for
just,
a reason.
And that's why it's a box. So that's usually
just get rid of the box. It's haunting you. Bad juju.
I can't do that.
Just light it on
There's
fire.
There's so many beautiful sentiments in that bag.
Just box. Light it on fire.
Not gonna do it.
I'll help you.
No. Fire. Don't touch my box.
Fire.
Anyway. But that's what my relationship with MMOs is kind of like. It's like an ex-boyfriend. I know that that's danger if I get too involved. But every once in a while, I like to go back and say, hey, have you matured any? And sometimes it's like, yeah, but I'm still kind of a dick. And I'm like, all right, at least you can admit that about yourself. Well, it was nice seeing you, and you go about your business.
Uh-huh.
And that's what it is. Like, MMOs. And then Bethesda, who I already love immensely. I'm like, oh, Bethesda, you're getting in bed with MMOs, but sometimes they can be a dick. What are you doing? Be careful, you're going to get burned.
So basically, what you're saying is, Bethesda's like a good girlfriend of yours, and you see them going out with a douchebag, and you want to tell them not to do it.
But they also need to have the experience of knowing what douchebags are like.
Right.
So you're kind of like, are you sure you want to do that? Okay.
So you're kind of like, I need to let you learn this on your own. But
when
man.
Things possibly go wrong, I am right here to give you a big hug and tell you that he was a douchebag.
Okay, well see, now I see that you're coming in from it from a completely different standpoint. I understand where you're coming from, and I think that you're a great friend for doing that.
I am so awesome. And I'm so modest.
You are so modest. You are the most modest podcast host that I know.
I should have an awesome sticker for modesty. Because I am so modest.
You need a shirt
My
that says,
modesty
I'm...
can do several 50 reps of like 100 pounds.
You need a t-shirt that
they
says...
Are so, my modesty is so ripped.
No, seriously. You need a t-shirt that says, I'm modest as a motherfucker.
Modest as a That should be my single.
Modest as a motherfucker?
Modest as a motherfucker.
All right, well, you start working on those lyrics there.
Oh, I will!
Because we all know that you have the flow. You know, at the end of the day, here's kind of where I sit. When it comes to MMOs, your diehards are what keep your franchise alive. And I don't think that
Wait,
either...
Bruce Willis keeps your franchise alive?
There are how many diehard movies? There are how many Red movies?
Yeah.
There are how many Expendable movies?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, so as I was saying...
You are right.
The diehards keep your franchise alive. Okay, that's why it's a franchise. There are going to be plenty of people who pony up the money for the disc and the money for the monthly play. Yes, I do agree that you're probably going to have a bunch of people that'll do it in fits and spurts, you know? Because $15 a month... does add up very quickly. You know, you're talking...
30, 45...
Go ahead, 60, keep doing math. Yep.
75?
Yep.
80?
No.
85? 90? My math skills are horrible. We've been saying this for a very long time.
But anyway, you know...
Don't judge me.
No one's judging you, Panda.
Yes, they are.
Okay, everyone's judging you, Panda, but you know what? Just accept it. It does add up, and I do agree. I think that you're going to have people that will, you know, do it in fits and spurts of probably 3 month and 6 month and year subscriptions. You know, those people that have it right off the bat will probably opt into a year subscription and then pick up and play when they want, drop it when they don't, and 3 month and 6 month, you know, and you probably have people that will cycle on and off every quarter. That's fine, because that's revenue that's coming in to support this MMO. You know, I think that Bethesda will be fine, because you have enough of a base that loves Elder Scrolls to keep it alive. Okay? And I think that if you have co-op play between console and PC, it'll be a done deal, and you won't have anything to worry about, Panda.
Okay.
Same thing on Realm Reborn. The people that love Final Fantasy, as long as Square does not fuck it up, put that, you know, disclaimer.
See, in that regard, Square Enix and MMOs, they're both kind of bastards, so it might just work.
I mean, it might.
It so crazy. You could, we, it just might
you
work.
May end up with Ryan Gosling of MMOs going on. Like, hey, girl. You know, it could happen. That could be what we're looking at.
Oh, my God. Sorry.
Okay. Or not. But I don't think that that's what's going to happen. I think you'll have enough support from the franchise fans. Diehards that will keep it alive.
Okay.
I really don't think that you've got anything to worry about. I think that it's a good thing to bring to the table and a cool thing to talk about. Because, yeah, it could be something that isn't as successful as maybe necessarily a free-to-play. But I don't think that with what Elder Scrolls is meant to be, and frankly what with Realm Reborn is meant to be, that free-to-play is an option. I think that they're just too big to rely on microtransaction as the support.
Okay.
I don't think that it's out of the realm of possibility for Square or for Bethesda to come up with a free-to-play game so that they can enter that market. But free-to-play is a whole nother beast that you need really a completely different set of marketing and sales thought to put into it, frankly, than just to create a disc game and go, we're going to charge you $15 a month to get on our servers and play it. You know, you really have to have a team that understands, you know, not only how microtransactions can work, but how they should work in your game. So, you know, what's the dollar amount that you should charge for things that make it easy for people to justify buying them? Because that's really what microtransaction is. It's not that, you know, okay, here's content, you got to pay me for it. It's, can I create content and put the price barrier for you so low that it's not really a barrier for you to purchase, but I'll have enough of people purchasing it often enough to actually make money to support the servers and the electronics that it takes to keep that server running that you're using. That's a whole other ecosphere. And I don't know necessarily that either of those guys wants to get into that camp. There are plenty of other companies that do it and do it well. That it would be better to partner with one of them if they wanted to come up with a free-to-play game.
Than break out on their own.
Than to do their own. You know, really and truly.
Okay.
You know, that's where Square...
I was just scared.
No, that's where, you know, Square buys a Trion Worlds or something like that. And goes, okay, now you're part of Square. So now we have an entire house, in-house, that knows how to do this and do this well. Now we want to create a Final Fantasy type... you know, free-to-play, here's our thoughts, can we do that? You know, I think that would be a smarter move. Because I agree with you, free-to-play is definitely stealing market share. I don't think that free-to-play is going to kill traditional MMO.
I don't think so either, but, I mean, I think we're now at a point where standard MMOs have to look and say, we didn't think that they were going to really kind of come up here, but we're seeing them now.
No, they didn't. I mean, remember when free-to-play first happened?
Free-to-play are like weeping angels from Doctor Who.
I knew you were going to bring in a Doctor Who reference.
Fuck yes!
I just didn't know where it was going to be, but I knew it was
here and now.
No, I mean, I agree with you. Free-to-play, when it first came out, I was like, oh, it's a kind of a neat idea, but there's not a lot out there.
That's a quaint little concept.
And you were like, I shit on it.
I did.
You did. You shat upon it.
I did.
Okay. And, you know, now here we are, a year down the road, there's much more free-to-play out there.
Absolutely.
They're really fantastic. A big chunk of them are coming from independent developers and
Rise of
companies.
The Indies.
Okay? And so it's a much larger contender, faster than anybody thought. I think that there probably will come a time where it's neck and neck between traditional MMO and free-to-play. At the same time, what I will say is, today's not the day that free-to-play kills MMO. I think that Elder Scrolls will be fine for the next year and a half. I think that free-to-play still has a long way to go as far as picking up casual gamer. Because right now, free-to-play, really and truly, I don't think picks up casual very much. I think it picks up, frankly, broke and or tired hardcore.
All right.
you know, I've burnt out on my blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to try this free-to-play game that's going to be very similar to what I play, but it's different characters in different worlds, so I won't feel so burnt out on it. I think that's where free-to-play picks up a big chunk of its game base, which is cool. And I do think it picks up some casual, but I think traditional MMO will be fine for a couple more years. I, however, will not be picking up Elder Scrolls Online, because as I've already mentioned, there's a metric shit ton of other games that I've got to be playing between November and December. So we're going to wrap it up here. You can check out all of our thoughts. We'll be sure and to write about all the games, as many as we can have time in a normal day to play, on our website, egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. The whole team writes our reviews and previews there. You can find our podcast on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is
esh.co. That's esh.co. The shortest will bunch of the long one. That's where you can find all of our podcasts in their beautiful glory, if iTunes isn't your thing. But we are not the only thing you should be listening to.
That's correct. You will catch new episodes of our podcast when we put them out on the web, on the iTunes Music Store, and in the iTunes Podcast application, as well as the Microsoft Store on Mondays, popping fresh for your enjoyment. But you can follow that up with a brand new episode of the Boston Bass Brigade podcast, officially becoming No Borders, No Race, starting next week. Hosted by our homeboy, King Baby Duck. You can check out articles that they write over there. You can hit up for fresh new beats and sounds in your ear holes, geekagro.com, on Wednesdays for fresh new trap music, house music, EDM, drum and bass. I mean, Deuce is Wild listens to all of it. He finds some really, really interesting new tracks. You definitely want to make sure that you check those out. On Thursdays, if you got issues,
he's got issues.
Y'all can have issues together. The Issues program, hosted by the Issues guys. You can call in, ask questions, share your issues, talk them through, have a good time, couple of laughs. I'm telling you,
it's free therapy.
It really is. It really is.
And I stopped murdering people after talking to the issue
guy. Wait. You didn't murder nobody.
There was that one guy.
Shut up. But for the rest of your week, keeping your nerd needs satiated, like I said, we've got a Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. You can interact with all of us, all the editors from the team, ask us questions, let us know if there's something you want to hear about on any of our shows. If there's something you want us to specifically review, you can, you know, put a thought in there. Not saying that we'll do it. I'm not saying that we won't. Facebook.com/landofesh. You want to keep up with all the things that are going on in the land with Ash? Then if you're of the Twitters, you want to follow us on Twitter at ESH News, all one word. If you want to check out the individuals who make the Land of Esh as awesome as it is, then you go to my page, twitter.com/ninjasista. Check out the Land of Esh list. Your Twitter feed will thank you. So, Panda.
Yeah.
I got to ask you.
Okay.
What shit you digging this week?
I'm not digging anything this week.
What?
Nope.
You have nothing?
Nope. Everything is on the same line of normalness. Nothing outstanding for me. Nothing. I guess I dig nothing. Nothing is pretty awesome this week. What are you digging this week?
Chicken and wild mushroom risotto.
Well, now I'm hungry.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
I dig
too.
Food.
Oh, so you take it back and you're like,
ah. Now it's just food because a bitch be hungry.
So as always, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we're out until next week, guys.
See you guys next week.
Bye.